Every Australian Counts Day, held just the day before the election, will remind our nation's leaders to keep their promise to support Australians with disability through the implementation of the NDIS.
It's an opportunity to celebrate, and I think often we haven't really taken that, you know, everyone's been very pleased at how far we've come, but nobody's really taken that moment to just actually sort of sit back and reflect and say, wow, this is huge. This is the biggest social reform that has ever happened in Australia for people with disability, and, you know, we've made this happen. And so, you know, take a moment to celebrate with friends and family this achievement and how people have been involved. And it's also an opportunity to invite local candidates to events. So we've got people with disability, disability service providers, advocacy groups, all holding these events throughout Australia, and they'll be inviting their candidates just to come across, reconfirm their support, but also just to celebrate in really how far we've come.
Catherine McClellan is the campaign coordinator for Every Australian Counts, a movement that has been instrumental in driving the support for the NDIS. This scheme was first proposed by the Productivity Commission in 2011 when it undertook a public inquiry into disability care and support. The Commission said the current disability support system is underfunded, unfair, fragmented and inefficient, and gives people with a disability little choice and no certainty of access to appropriate support. Can you describe what this means in real terms for a person living with a disability?
So I think the easiest and the best way to explain what that looks like is actually by using a personal story. Someone who we've been very involved with in the campaign is a young man called Peter. Peter lives in WA, just outside of Perth. And when he was 17, he and a group of mates were at the local, you know, watering hole, and they were, it was summer, it was hot, they went for a swim, mucking around, and there was a bridge that went over the lake. Peter jumped off the bridge and landed, and everything was fine, but he wasn't paying attention to the fact that his friend was also on the bridge and was about to jump off. And his friend jumped off, and Peter couldn't get out of the way soon enough, and his friend landed on top of him, and he broke his spine very badly and instantly became a quadriplegic. So, you know, he's a young man, life ahead of him, and he's just been dealt this blow in his life circumstances, really. And he ended up going to university and studying social work, and he got a job as a youth counsellor and was very successful in his job. But obviously, being a quadriplegic, he has very high personal support needs, from getting up in the morning to at work, you know, being able to get his job done. He needs personal care. But because he was working, the West Australian government wasn't giving him any or enough financial support to have his personal care throughout the day. So his work was actually paying for a personal care because they knew how valuable he was as an employee, but they couldn't sustain that because they were not only paying a wage, but also paying for his personal care, which was just too much. The terrible part of this is that if he chose not to work, then all of his personal care needs would be taken care of, but he would be at home, you know, sitting on the couch, spending his days watching DVDs. And so it's just things like that that meant the system just wasn't working. It doesn't make sense for a young man to be forced out of the workforce where he was getting self-worth, contributing to the economy, contributing to society, but he was being forced out because he wasn't getting any support to cover just his personal care needs.
So what differentiates this old system from the NDIS?
Before, all of these sort of service types existed in silos, and people were only maybe able to access one or the other, and nothing really worked, nothing was talking to each other. But now the system is looking at the whole of life of the person. So not just looking at their accommodation needs, but looking at their sort of how to get them out and about in the community as well. And so looking at things together just means for a better package that really suits that person's life. And there's a real focus on making sure that we know that all people with disability are individuals, and that no, you know, person with disability is the same as another, you know. And so even if somebody might have the same disability type, it doesn't mean that they want the same things for their lives. And so before, the system was very much focused on needs, the needs that surrounded their disability. And of course, this system will also address that, because we know that there are needs associated with people's disabilities. But it will have a greater focus on people's life outcomes. What do they want to do for their lives? What are their hopes and dreams and aspirations and things that I think people without disability are very good at thinking about, but often people with disability aren't, just because they've not been given the chance to do that.
Employment and economic participation is a key life outcome for people with disability. Nationally, labour force participation is at 31% for people with a disability, compared to 83% for people without a disability. How would disability care support people with disability to enter the workforce and find meaningful and sustainable work?
Australia at the moment ranks lowest of OECD nations in how many people with disability have employment. I think that's quite a shocking statistic for many Australians to hear, because we think that we're doing, you know, okay in our sort of equality and our getting work for people. There's a couple of factors to that. There's the employers, the employer sector that we need to consider, and industry, and people actually thinking about, you know, in business, what kind of roles could be filled by people with disability. But it's also just that people with disability haven't often been asked if they want to work. And we know that not all types of work would be suitable for all types of people with disability, just like all types of work aren't suitable for people without disability. But often people just haven't had that opportunity to even give it a go. And I think that this will really open the doors for people to say, you know, what do you think about work? You know, do you want to give that a try? And it will allow people with much more flexibility and at different ages as well, just to try and enter the workforce and then see if that can be sustained.
The NDIS also supports families and carers whose needs are often overlooked.
In cases of disability, often when, say, parents have a child with disability, there's a much higher percentage that that family will have a very stressful family life, and often leads to family breakdown much more than if they don't have a child without a disability. And so we need to just make sure that people are being well supported. I think that looks like, you know, additional respite support. So when they're able to, if the child goes into respite care just for a day every now and then, just to give the family a bit of rest and to make sure that they're looking after themselves so that they can also look after their child. A lot of parents or carers have had to leave the workforce, and a lot of those people would love to be able to get back into the workforce, maybe not full-time, maybe part-time. And we know that some wouldn't want to do that, but a lot do. And so just being able to say that there would be enough support for their children so that they could go back into the workforce is a really great thing.
Just to wrap up, I wanted to ask you, how does your Christian faith impact the work that you do in the disability sector?
Yeah, I think that was a really strong reason for why I came into the disability sector, as we're called as Christians to look after those that often don't have a voice for themselves. And I think that this is a sector where people have for too long been pushed to the sides and pushed to the background and haven't been listened to, and I think that I saw a real opportunity to go into a sector that made a difference. And I think it's the right move for our country to do this, because we have been letting people down. And I think as Christians we need to support these sorts of social policies that are making life better for people.